This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Here we go again.
I know you guys like sitting around the tailgate telling stories with good buddies, cracking cold ones. No matter if it's hunting season or fishing season, well, so does the Outdoor Drive Podcast. So we're going to bring you Tales from the Tailgate.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Tales from the Tailgate. This week, we're going to drop it with our good buddy, Mr. Mark Buzzle, to finish off our Connecticut turkey camp here in Connecticut. This is your boy, East Coast Trev, and I'm joined with my good buddy, Mr. Madman Mardik.
And also with you.
Well, yeah, I guess. Well, didn't I say that?
Yeah. This time, I'm also here.
All right. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Not much.
Mark's just sitting there all quiet and stuff, like just hanging out. Like, what are you doing, bro?
Now I'm a little worn out. I mean, you know, we've been kind of pushing it a little bit.
I know, dude. Like, crazy, crazy weekend. We slept in the first day, and then just all hell broke loose on day two.
And it wasn't even a weekend.
Did you expect anything less, though?
Not really. Like, this morning, the alarms went off. His went off first. It sounds like bomb shelter. It's like, burr, burr. I'm like, holy crap.
That's definitely the play, though. That's the go-to.
You need it. But the problem is, like, if you're, like, sleeping over someone's house and you have to set an alarm and it goes, dude, they get so pissed about it.
I don't
like it at all.
Well, you have to be, though, because that's what's going to make it. So he shut his off, and mine went off, like, 1 or 2 minutes later. Then I had it set for another 1 or 2 minutes later. I shut mine off, and we're just kind of both laying there, like, wonder who's going to get up first. And finally, I said, I'm getting up.
When Trev's alarm got off, did it bring flashbacks back to Pearl Harbor?
No, actually, it's like Civil War cannon fire. Cannon fodder. It's like, you know, charging with bayonets.
that's next week.
Pack the powder. Yeah, it is.
Yep. For you guys that missed out on the last episode, 194, I believe it was. I'm almost positive on that, but not really. I don't really know. But anyways, so 194, you guys can catch up on what was actually going on. But this one's going to be a Tales. Mark killed an absolute phenomenal bird here in Connecticut. Mark, why don't you just take it right off the rip, right from coming into camp? And, well, did we talk about day one in the first one? No, we hadn't hunted yet.
No, he just got into camp.
So take it off right there, kind of what happened, kind of the trials, tribulations, so on and so forth throughout day one. Spit it right into day two and just rip this thing right off. We'll drop the tailgate right here.
Let her hammer. So, yeah, trials and tribulations is driving down 495 in Massachusetts. There's the first trials and tribulations to get here. But once I got here, obviously, enjoyable. I love this place. We decided we're going to go see if we can find some birds. Because I got down here, it was probably 5, I think, something like that?
5:30?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we just kind of decided, well, where are we going to go? And you'd kind of come up with some spots that we're going to try and hit. Day one was kind of like a blur. I mean, we didn't really accomplish much other than, you know, get out there and did a few things. And
went to 2 spots, gobbles all day.
Nothing, just weird.
Yeah.
It was a cold morning, though.
Super cold, frost morning, super weird, you know.
Yeah, it really was. It was just kind of strange. It was fun, again, because, you know, we visited some spots that I was here last year with you where when I didn't get it accomplished. And then, of course, we spoke about, well, let's just wrap it up. We'll go back, get something to eat, hang out with the dog, because I did bring the dog with me this time. So we got something to eat, talked about, you know, where should we go? Let's go. Rather than hunt the afternoon, we decided, why don't we go find some birds and see if we can roost them? So we did our driving around, and I'm horrible. I mean, I get old eyes. So I told Trevor, hey, look, there's some. And he spins the truck around. It's a couple of geese. And he laughs at me. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, his neck was not up that tall. Because he had his head way up in there. I'm like, seriously, if we drove by and his head was up, you know, 3 feet, I'd have said, that's a goose. But anyways, he spun around.
No. Hold on. Time out. when you came into camp, he comes into camp. He's like, Trev, there's some turkeys down on the old road down here.
And I took a picture of them.
He took a picture of them. He shows me. He says, look, there's two of them. I go, yeah, those are turkeys. Turkey vultures, bro.
That's a true story?
True, 100%.
It's on my phone because they're so far out in the field, I can't see them with my normal eyes. So I took my phone, I zoomed in on them, and then I just took the picture. I'm like, I'll show that to Trevor when I get there. So he goes, I'm kind of excited. I'm like, hey, dude, they're right here. I mean, we can almost shoot them from here. And then he looks at my phone and he goes, yeah, those are turkeys. Turkey vultures. So I'm like, can you eat those? Whoops. But anyways, we had a great time. We buzzed around different places and made some calls out of the truck, and we got some videotape of that stuff, trying to get them to hammer back. And, geez, we saw, hens crossing the road and other stuff, but
yeah,
in all weird places. And then that one place where I'm like, dude, back up. He almost doesn't believe me anymore because we've backed up like three or four times
cried,
now. And shit.
Cried wolf
like,
one too many times.
Yeah, the boy cried wolf. Yeah, for sure.
Like Trev's like, no, that's a squirrel. We had a coyote cross in front of us.
Yeah.
I mean, broad daylight. That was kind
of
weird.
That's one thing I'm definitely going to go to jail for, shooting a coyote out of the truck. I don't care. I'll shoot a coyote right anywhere. Out the window. No question. Yeah. Nope.
So, anyways.
The FedEx guy shaved that one. I promise you that.
I think he did because he spun around and he went back and put his four-wheels on right where that coyote went in the woods.
Well, yeah. No, he was backing into a driveway. Where I was going to grab the old TSS Saddies and fucking roll that thing on the side of the road. There's no question about that.
But anyways, he backs up.
You might want to edit that part out.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter.
No. They can't catch me. So he backs up and he sees these birds. He's like, yeah, those are nice ones. You know, some Jakes and possibly a Tom in there and stuff. It looked like mostly Jakes to us, right?
Yeah, I think it was four or five Jakes, yeah.
Yeah, so we just kind of hemmed and hawed. And then as he's driving around the corner, he's giving me shit. He's like, you're not going to like where those birds are going. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you'll see. He goes, I've done the hike before. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, I quit smoking last year, so I'm thinking, it can't be that bad. So we come back here. We'll rip right into the next day. We'll try to get our sleep and stuff and come back and eat and get fat and happy.
We did try Kobe beef.
Yeah, we did, which I'm not overly
marginal,
impressed.
Marginal.
It was marginal, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I bought some Kobe beef for us to try, and it was okay.
Steaks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York strip. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't anything like, oh, my God. I mean, it probably didn't help that I cut all the fat off the outside of it. But
right. Yeah, that didn't help. But
how would I
good
know?
Good meals, though.
It was. Yeah, everything, all the food down here has been fantastic with us cooking out of the cooler. So anyways, when we got up this morning, again, like I said, his alarm just freaking wah. We
fucking air raid.
It was actually good because I don't like that little mobile one I've got there. That's like one of the annoying, I don't know, you just want to see rainbows and pixie dust when it goes off. It pisses
like Tinkerbell,
me off.
That shit.
It is. It's horrible.
Mark, after spending the last hour helping you with your cell phone, I'm surprised you know how to set your alarm on that thing.
Sometimes I don't. But I don't know how to change the damn sound. That's why I still get the
clearly
the one from the market.
It's
horrible, dude. It really, you just wait for like Peter Pan come swinging by your face. You know, with a
shot of pixie dust up your nose.
Oh, that would be the least of my worries if it's Peter Pan. So we finally, I stood up. I'm like, I'm getting out of bed because if I don't, I won't, you know. But I'm thinking, like he said, if you don't get out of bed, you're not going to get it done. So
you said that, Trev?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I got up and, Jesus, in no time, I was barely dressed. The truck's running.
What?
Yeah, I'm like, hurry the fuck up.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I gotta go.
No, I was up. I had like a three minute head start on it. I mean, I got my pants on, my shirt's going on, I'm looking for stuff. And I hear the truck start, and the son of a bitch never comes back in. I'm like, he can't fucking be waiting.
No way.
Yeah. Dude.
What do you think this is?
Turn over a new leaf.
No.
He was in the truck waiting for me, period. So I get in the truck, and he's like, you know, you ready for this, old man? I'm like, I should be. And yeah, it was 34. this morning?
Yeah, it was 34. Yeah, when we hit the side of the mountain, it was 34.
So the fat kids decides, okay, well, if we get up there, it's 34, it's going to be cold. I'm going to wear my coat. On top
did
of...
Did you tell him how long the walk
oh,
was?
Oh, yeah, and I told him he probably should take his coat off.
He told me I should probably leave my coat in the truck. And
I wore my thin Huntworth shirt today, not my heavy one.
And as a wiser guy, I said, yeah, he's full of shit. I'm not going to sit there and freeze because you can't bring it with you. You can't put it on if you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I should have never wore that up the hill. So... He's marching my ass a couple of miles to where these birds are, and it's a pretty steep grade in quite a few places.
Did you stop at the...
No, he turned around occasionally to see if I was still there, but...
We've got a spot about halfway in at the top of that hill that we usually stop for a couple minutes.
He did mention that when we get to the top of the hill, if you're still here, then we'll continue.
You just blasted right through?
No, I stopped.
No, we stopped. Let my thighs catch up. So... I'm pretty hot. I mean, I've got my hat off now in my hand because the sweat's just rolling down my face. I'm like, holy shit, this sucks. Because I don't want to, like, take all my stuff off now because he moves right along.
Now you're already sweaty, so now you're going to freeze.
Oh, exactly. I'm thinking, all right, well, I'll just die up on the mountain. It doesn't really matter. So, but it was just horrible how much sweat was coming off me. I'm like, he was right. I should have just left that thing in the truck. Cause, like, I know what's going to happen when I get there. And all I can smell is, like, bacon fat.
Just coming out of your pores.
Exactly. The whole time I'm
up. Kobe beef.
Yeah, exactly. Kobe beef fat. I'm like, man, that's me. So we finally get the top. He hoots a couple times with the owl call, and they freaking hammer. I'm like, and for me, I'm a deaf kid. I got about 150 yards.
Deaf and blind.
Yes, both. So about 150 yards is what I can hear roughly on a good gobble. And when he hit the owl call and I heard him going, holy shit, they're a lot closer than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So we did like a little sidetrack to kind of cut towards him, and he lit him up again, and we changed our directions a little bit to get a little closer to him. We did it three times, right? The third time.
They're still in the tree.
It's still dark.
Oh, it's still dark.
Yeah, it's dark. We got
about
probably
five.
If that. I think there's before that.
Yeah.
So his third time when he hit him, then we realized there's a lot more than one.
Mm.
It's like, holy shit, that's a whole crew. So...
Which now you're going back to what you saw the day before, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a pile of...
Well, you know that there's a pile of birds in there. So originally we got on top of the hill. I had hit the call. One had lit off kind of far away. So I was like, okay, we can move in on them. I know where I'm going. We get up in there, hit the owl call again. They lit up in a different area. So I was like, okay, hit them again on the second round. They lit up one singular lit off, and I said, that's the long beard.
Right.
I said, there's a long beard in here.
And you hit him with a crow call because you couldn't find your owl call.
Yeah. Well, the second, yeah. So I had owl hooted all the way in. Couldn't find the owl call. Hit him with the crow call. The gobbler hit off. I think there was a second gobbler in there, and then definitely four or five other gobbles. But it was just crazy. They just like lit off.
Yeah.
So they had been a little bit closer than they had normally. They normally roost, right. So the roost is a little closer. Yep. And it was more of like old times where they would be a lot closer to that area. So now Mark is still sweating balls. And I'm like, dude, I said, hey, get your shit together real quick. I said, we got to do some B-roll before we move in. Like, put your hat on, bro. Like, you're old.
Get your shit together, Mark.
Like, come on, Mark.
Oh, yeah. I look like Linus from freaking, I mean, it's just it was horrible.
So, yeah, so then we decided that we'll push in a little bit further and kind of get on. And I know the lay of the land and kind of wanted to go to they've held up on me in some areas, and you kind of know, I mean, not necessarily what they held up on that time, but want to kind of break down those options. And one of the things that we have done on this hunt that we hadn't done in another hunt was hunting with a decoy. So I think that was an exceptional idea in doing so. But anyway, so we start to move forward.
With me carrying the decoy.
Yeah.
That's your new best friend.
It is my best friend. We have a video of that, right?
Oh, yeah, they will see the video.
Plenty of videos.
It's unfortunate, but anybody out there that's bought an avian collapsible decoy that you have to blow up, the stem is in a very unusual spot.
It's a weird-looking snood.
It is, yeah, but that's how you got to do it, so.
You know that if you turned it upside down, it wouldn't look as bad, right?
It's still horrible. It doesn't matter. Then it looks like you're 69 in the friggin' thing. So I'd rather just be the lone guy and be like, what's he doing?
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, so you got us in there, got us set up. They did their last hammer. He ran out like 20 yards and set the decoy up, 20, 25 yards. It was close, like real close. got us all set up on the tree. I get all set, you know, put all my gear on, gloves, all that stuff. And we basically just sitting side by side on a decent tree, just hammer. Well, the hen started talking. And every time she'd talk, they would gobble, and then he started talking over. And it was fun. Like, I learned again today that how you got her to respond, because a lot of us think, I think some of the best statements you give me today is that they gobble for the hens
to come to them.
Yeah, and I always thought it was the other way. Because anytime I have a problem with a big Tom, he's following that damn bitch everywhere, and I can't make him stop no matter what I do. And Trev kind of showed me this morning, getting that bird, how to basically piss her off by talking over her,
mm-hmm.
and make them more interested in what he has to say than what she's saying. Because she was hammering right with you, and he would just get more aggressive with the call.
Let me jump in. So, Trev, talk about that a little bit. Are you matching her? Like, are you taking her tone and just giving her a little bit more? Are you mimicking what she, like, whatever she does? Are you doing it back to her?
So you, it's on a mimic term, but with a little bit more volume. So I get more aggressive with her. So if that's, the thing is, and when a lot of this happens, and that hen, and this is just what I found, not, this is no professional grade shit. This is just what I know.
You've killed enough birds that we can call it professional.
So I think one of the things with me is that if I get in a situation and there's a hen in there, like this situation, and I'll take you through the story on how this and how and the, my thought process of what I did and how I did it and the reaction that I got out of it. She started to yelp, and I says, okay, she was going to yelp. I says, I'm going to yelp too. She yelped back. I said, okay, now she's the boss hen. She's going to try and overtake me. So in that point, I say, okay, how much can I give her that she's going
to
take?
And what did you say to me, though?
What's that?
She doesn't know who she's fucking with.
Well,
she may be the head, but I'm the bearded head.
Tell me how I know that one.
Yeah, and I laughed. I'm like, yeah, she's in trouble now.
So she yelps a couple times. I yelp with her kind of a little bit faster pace to kind of pick it up a little speed and ensure that there's some aggression from me to her. Then I said, okay, how am I going to get away with this? And be more aggressive. I start to cut on a slower pace, a little bit more higher strung yelping. I mean, cutting on her. She then cuts back at me, and I says, "Okay, now it's game on. Now I am full fledgedly cutting at her as fast as I can and as loud as I can." Now she does the same thing.
Yeah, it's right back and forth, right. like a boxing match.
So then we, you know, she'll yelp, and then I'll call two times to her one yelp. So,
but like, in the meantime, don't forget, it's not just these two knuckleheads going back and forth. All these Toms are just hammering.
Yeah.
But for her, for him, for her, for him. I'm like, holy crap. I mean, the whole place is just lit up between him, her being pissy, and Toms where I'm just going, this is insane. I only brought 5 rounds.
Yeah. So I'm cutting at her. She's cutting back at me. Now I get more aggressive. Cut, cut, cut. Yelp, yelp, yelp. But still on a lower pace, mind you. It's still early in the morning. She's on the ground. Yeah. They are in the tree. She's on the ground. But I know, and I'm like, all right, she's not coming yet, but she will come. I promise you, she's going to come. Once they hop out of the tree, she will come. I know this for a fact. So we cut back and forth. I'm calling more to the Toms to get their attention, to let them know that I am here. You need to now come to me. I'm not moving, but I'm cutting at her aggressively so that if she does make a move, that we can get her to come in. So now they're firing off. It's about 5:15, and they're still in the tree. They then, you know, we would get them to gobble. They would gobble, gobble, respond, and then it would spit. You know, there's a couple to the left, one straight ahead of us, and one to the right, and they're all gobbling just insanely. Like, one would gobble, 3 would gobble. 1 would gobble, 4 would gobble. I mean, it was just insane. And finally, you can hear them.
Down they come.
Down. So they hit the ground. And as they hit the ground, then she's still cutting.
And she's pissed.
So it kind of, there's a moment of silence there for about 2 minutes where I had yelped, cut, yelped, and there was no response. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. I said, they're on the ground, they're together. And this is where Mark got nervous. Mark says, I hate when this happens.
Yeah, because they just disappear.
And no sound.
Nothing.
I said, okay.
No, so hold on.
Yeah.
What would you normally do? And that's it. You're by yourself.
I usually give him another couple of minutes, like, because there's dead sound. I'll call, like he said.
Yep.
And there's nothing. So I'll do one more little raspy call.
Yep.
Nothing. I wait probably 2 to 4 minutes, and then I hit it again. And a lot of times, now they're 200 yards off. She's just drug them off, or they disappeared on me. It drives me nuts. And that's what I thought was going to happen to us today.
Yep. So in that instance, you're hunting the tom. And this is where I think that you can get a change in this. And this is where... When now you're sequentially already beat the shit out of that hen verbally, right? So they didn't call back. I said, okay. So we sit here for a minute. Mm-hmm. I go, now I'm going to go super ass aggressive on them and cut as hard as I absolutely can. And now one of those things that will do is get the toms to gobble. And in response, she's going to respond.
Yep.
In the perfect world.
And she did.
So I hit her. Cut, 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 cut. And the Tom.
One of the loudest gobbles I've heard so far in hunting turkeys. And again, he's got it all on tape.
And how far away is he?
He's probably, at this point, maybe 100 yards probably. Yeah.
And it was that lightning bolt gobble.
And he lit off. And I go, the worst thing he ever just did was give away his position. He responded to me.
Mm-hmm.
So now that he's responded, I said, okay. I said, he's done now. I cut just... She now cuts back at me. So now I said, okay, now it's war.
Yeah, you know, you said game on.
Yeah, so she's coming back, cut, and I go, okay, now here we go. Cut, 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 cut. Cut, 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 cut. Ow, ow, ow. And he's just, now he's on a string. Yelp, 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 yelp. Ow. Every single thing. So now I see the hen. She's starting to come through the break in the wall at about 75. And this is when I said to Mark, I said,
here they come.
Here they come.
Where? And then I had to look at his camera. I'm like, oh, there they are. Because I was looking at it. I only have one good ear. So my direction of sound is off by 30, 40 yards in the wrong direction usually. And I looked at his camera. I'm like, holy shit. And then as soon as I looked, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're right there.
So they start to come up. And they're on our side. They've now cleared all obstacles. Mm. Now it's just fair game, open hardwoods.
With a Jake decoy in their face.
And here comes the hen, first one. And as soon as the long beard comes through the break in the wall, I see him fan. So then I go, now, second bird is the bird you're going to shoot. And this is what I tell him. Long beard. I go, and I'm just going to make sure. Yep, 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 yep.
He awesome.
Breaks strut. I see his neck stick out. He's at about 75, and he starts coming up. Here comes the hen, full straight line right to us. Second bird, he starts coming up, struts again. Yup, yup, yup. And he's coming right up the line.
And then behind him
is there's 5 jakes.
Right. Yep.
And I just because I can now continuously see heads, heads, heads. Now they're in Mark's range, and they start to come up.
Yeah, and that was awesome. Like I said, the amount of noise that guy was making, you can tell that it's not a Jake. I mean, it's like, it's almost fake.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hear that noise sometimes where that's that loud, like, I've never heard that. I just hear gobble, 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 gobble. But this guy, he was freaking pissed.
Rolling coal.
Oh, just straight.
Oh, he was. And he's just so mad. Like I said, the tail's wide open and the big paintbrush is right on the ground. I'm like, oh, that's a big bird.
The other cool thing that I noticed too in the video footage is. His head color versus the Jake's head color is behind him. Yep. I mean, he stood out.
Yeah. Oh,
he was pissed. Yeah. I mean, he was just so mad because his girlfriend's coming straight for that Jake. And he's like, I'm not going to have none of that. And like I said, once he broke, he'd collapse his tail down, drag his wings, and he'd come in a little closer. And then he's like, you're mine. He come right for the decoy and basically decided he was going to beat the shit out of it. So he jumped up in the air. And as he jumped up, and he did like a Karate Kid move on it, cranked him a good one, and then jumped off in it. Was getting ready to do it again, and Trevor leans towards me. He's like, kill him. I'm like, okay. So I had the bead right on his forehead and just let him fly, and he didn't even flap. He just collapsed at that distance. And then, of course, all the Jakes do what they always do. They all gathered around, said their last rites, looked at us. Everybody waved. He cut at him a few more times just for the hell of it. And we're talking now, like, oh, great job. We're all excited. And the Jake's like, well, that sucks. And they just kind of wander off. You know, it's like, my God, you guys, bye. I'll see you next year.
One for the dead homies.
Yeah. And the thing is, in that piece, when So 2 years ago, me and Mardik, we killed a double together, and that same boss end come right in. So she's killed. She's brought him to the death.
It's funny you say that because
they brought him to the
death. When you were telling the story earlier, I was thinking about it. That morning you killed the double was my first time hunting that piece of property.
Yeah.
To this day is the most hen vocals I had ever experienced because you got in a pissing match.
Yeah.
With that.
Maybe she's
that,
a serial killer.
In that morning.
You know what I mean? She mates up with a big Tom and she does him in.
Murder mystery.
That's what I'm thinking.
Things on Netflix.
Because she drug him right into
she
us.
She knows how to get her husband killed.
Yep. Yeah.
This is in a heaven. Dude, it's.
She's going to start riding in style. You know, she'll show up in like an Escalade next time.
Yeah.
the thing is, like earlier in the season, I think like the first week or two, I think that those hens aren't as aggressive. But you get into the second and third week of the season, and those, you can really vocalize with those hens and make them be, if they're boss hens, they get wild.
It was really good for me because I'm self-taught for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, watch videos like everybody else did. And of course, I build the calls. And like Trevor, you know, getting me into building mouth calls, which, again, all hand done, I couldn't run a mouth call. So I had to ship them all down to him. And that's what was fun today is I can run a mouth call now pretty decent. I mean, I'm not great, sure. But I can definitely kill a bird now, no problem. To watch him using my call, you know, and just banging on this bird with the right tones and stuff and watching it, because I'm learning and he's teaching me as well, saying, you know, your cuts are going to be different. You're blending too much together. And so I get to sit there and listen to watch that happen. And that was the cool part. And again, when I'm already done by now up home usually, or I've given up. I've got my bird. I'm like, oh, that's good. Because, again, everybody knows my schedule. I work till midnight and get up at 3 in the morning to go bird hunting. And then I'm at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I can only do that a couple of days. So that was the fun part is, again, bucket list, Connecticut bird. I tried last year and we kind of failed. The weather wasn't really that great. And I didn't put a ton of effort into it. I was already beat. So this time that was awesome. That was a lot of fun to get. Even though the hike was like, that's not outside my realm.
Right.
Leaving the coat in the truck would have been better. Because I'm pretty sure it felt like double the distance coming back. I think it's. Oh, that's right, because you made me carry everything.
Yeah, what did you think? We killed a bird.
I'm thinking the young guy is going to be like, hey, here you go.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, it's a guided hunt. I mean, the guide's supposed to do the heavy lifting.
Absolutely not.
That's the way I see it.
Once you kill the bird, it's your problem. Yeah, he made it really clear right on the spot.
We went turkey hunting in the same spot you were in. Both had guns. Trev shoots both birds. I didn't shoot anything. I still had to carry a bird out.
Oh, you bastard. So this is a scenario with you.
I was trying to get him to carry both birds out, but I had to carry one of his birds out.
Yeah. I see how this works now. So this is a habit with him. Mm-hmm. This, yeah,
I don't carry birds, man. Yeah. Youth, I don't care. Young, old, dead, I don't care. You're carrying your own damn bird. Yeah,
I agree with that. It's your bird, you carry it.
Unless you shoot it.
Yeah, unless it's a double.
If it's mine.
He said he had to carry your bird out.
Yeah, we had two. Dude, I'm not carrying two.
No, he had two. I had none.
Yeah, see, exactly.
He doesn't get it.
No.
But no. I mean, so we ended up just hanging out, smoking a cigar, yep, you know, the norm, yep. And just kind of taking it all in, and then we trekked it on out.
It was extremely special for both of us, really, because you and I have been friends for a long time, and we did try to get it done last year, and we. The weather just would not cooperate. Neither would we had them hitting last year. They're gobbling and striking. It was a lot of fun. But it's different down here. When they cross over to private, game over.
Yeah.
Mm. Which, in Maine, that doesn't happen usually. I mean, yes, there are some private properties, but nobody cares unless it's posted. So that kind of hurt us last year. We had one. We're like, yeah, he's dead meat. And then Trev's like, oh, we can't go any further. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? He's like, no. And I think you knew who it was, and you asked them, I think.
Mm.
And the guy was like, no.
This is you guys' first successful hunt together?
It, down here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've killed deer. Guys have killed deer in camp.
Yep. Yeah, we spent time.
With deer camp
I haven't killed anything
stuff.
Here, deer-wise. This is actually my first kill down here, really. Cause
yeah.
I usually just take pictures of shit.
Yeah, I killed a deer in camp when he was here. Yep. Ethan's killed a deer in
two.
Camp.
But not together, side two. By side. Two. Like
no.
Yeah.
Mark no, shot not sitting on the same stump. No.
Mark. Smacked the limbs on a
blew
tree stand.
Yep.
Yep. On a good buck.
So look, I'm going to ask this, even though I know this wasn't your first time, but first successful hunt. What do you think about the timber running and gunning in our hardwoods compared to what you're used to?
It's absolutely stunning because number one, you don't have black flies and mosquitoes. I don't understand that yet.
Well, it was also 34 degrees out this morning.
Yeah, but we don't have them like he has.
Oh, no, I know that.
In Maine, you're going to get lit up in 32 degrees.
Yeah.
They're just insane. And the other thing is, like, rock walls and stuff are everywhere. I mean, these used to be old homesteads, like I was telling Trevor. I mean, this used to be a field. I mean, some of the trees are as big around as a truck hood. So I don't know when that was, 1700s maybe, but you literally can, not anywhere, but 75% of your woods, you can see 60, 80, 90 yards. You can't do that in Maine. There's no way. I mean, there's places in Maine where you literally can't walk straight. You have to turn around and go backwards. Which,
sometimes that can be a disadvantage, turkey hunting. Like, you don't, sometimes open, it's bad for them to see too far.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if without the decoy.
Right, especially if they're roosted, like they can see you already, you know, in the alcohol. But the woods are gorgeous. Like, you took a picture of me by, what was that, a maple tree?
Yeah, big old maple,
My God. That was right about the time the Declaration of Independence was signed. That thing was a seedling. That thing's, dude, it's massive. It had to have been,
you said about 120 years old.
Probably more than that.
Visions of cutting it down and turning it into little calls?
It was dead. But it's one of the biggest trees I've seen hardwood-wise in my lifetime.
Right.
It had to have been, if you cut it and measure across the base, probably 8 feet, 9 feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ginormous. Yeah. But yeah, your wood is just so much different than mine. And even the rocks, the lay of the land, the plants are different. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't know what that plant is that you have that has like ridges on it. You were folding them out of the way today. The bark on it kind of comes out like off the...
Oh, I know what he's talking about.
Oh, the barberry bushes.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's got little like flanges on it. Yeah. Almost. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a barberry bushes. And it has like a red berry on it a lot of the times in the winter, and that's what the deer feed on if there's not a lot of food. They live in the bare barberry bushes.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. And I think one of the things too with our woods where you were saying that bird made that gobble like that, is you've never been around a bird that was in a hardwood setting.
Exactly. I haven't, because it doesn't exist. I'm on the edge of fields all the time, or even if I'm on a tote road or a small patch in the woods, it's teeny and it's basically buffered because there's green growth everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have that whack off the trees.
That's where the thunder comes from. That's right.
Yeah, it was cool.
In the field, it's got room to disperse.
Yes.
And then in that thick stuff, it kind of kills it. But you get in them hardwoods, man, especially with a little bit of terrain, and it just...
Because it sounded the same when they're in the tree, when you had them striking off. That's what it sounds like at home. I get them to strike off in the trees, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because the sound is pitching.
Exactly. It's the same thing. But when he was on the ground and he started doing that big... I just looked at Trevor. I'm like, holy crap, dude, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just so mad sounding. And then to see him come in that full strut, I mean, his beard's almost dragging, and he's just so mad. I'm like, wow, that's a big bird. Even though he said, you know, second bird, and then, of course, after I shot him, I'm ready to clean out whatever is next if he wants me to. And I told him I wouldn't until he said something. So I shoot, and that guy just collapses. And I swing immediately to my right, and you can hear Trevor in the video, that's a head. Because I am beaded right on her forehead, but I'm watching what's behind her, and I'm looking for another longer beard, and then immediately we're like, it's over. I mean, the Jake's. It's done. We're done. Yeah. Done. I don't need to clean up everything down here because that's just foolish. I mean, yeah, five tags, but come on.
We've been blessed. We've been blessed with the opportunity to be able to hunt good birds in that area for years.
I think it's because, like, remember when we were driving in? I said, well, because you said, well, you can if you want. I'm like, yeah, but geez, you know, let's say there's five Jake's, one Tom. So I shoot a Tom and I shoot, you know, two more Jake's. And then you have deprivation of coyote kills, so they kill three, and then one drops dead. You get nothing for next year.
Right. That particular spot that you went to today, I've made that walk personally three times.
I didn't mind the walk. I really didn't.
In my three walks, brought four birds out. So I've never gone in there and not came out with a bird.
You've killed two birds in there?
I've killed... Oh, no. Yeah, no, so it's four birds, because I've killed... two in there. No, it was your bird, your double, and my bird by myself. So I've been in there three times with four birds.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because of the double.
Yeah.
But that's a big, that's a humongous piece of property, too. So there's room for, you know, 50 friggin' birds in there. It just where we were, there had to have been, like I said, the five Jakes, the one hen, and that Tom. So there's seven birds right there in that one little spot.
So I've been hunting there since 2015 and have killed a bird out of there every single year except for one year that I didn't kill a bird in there.
Probably because you didn't go.
No, just it was just a weird year. We went in there opening morning and just didn't hear anything and not able to kill something. So it's one of those spots. It's just a blessing of a spot. I've never had to deal with anybody.
No, it's a weird setup because, like I said, it's a track. I mean, if you're gonna run a couple miles on your hoof, this isn't. You don't drive to and get out of the track and say, "Call your door easy." No, it's get out of the track, slam the door if you want, because you got a 30-minute walk ahead of you.
It's exactly what it's 30. I timed it last time.
Yeah, this isn't like a bring your cane. 30-minute walk is keeping up with him, which he's moving.
Yeah,
and it's so if it was my pace, it would probably be 35, 38 minutes at the pace I usually go. But following him, he's on a go. He's on a tear. And we get up there, and like I said, it was well worth the walk. It was.
It was just a picture-perfect morning as far as
temperature, in the sound, woods. No wind.
If I was to close my eyes and you told me what is today, I would have told you it was opening day of turkey season. Mm. I mean, as far as weather-wise, the reaction of the birds, and it was all day reaction of the birds because, and to see, we went through last week, and last week was one of those weeks you're like, oh, man, I don't know, dude. I think this is close to over.
Right.
I think this is close to over. And then we had this week, and then we had busted into a second spot, and there was four long beards with two hens, dude. And
massive they
just had
long beards.
Just smashing off.
Yeah. And this one is the biggest one I've ever shot. I've shot a 21.5 pounder, my doubles, but their beard isn't like this. The beard is probably 8-9 inches. This one's definitely much bigger.
I think it's close to 12.
Yeah, and when I grabbed down to him, I picked up quite a few birds, but when I get a hold of that bird, I'm like, that's 21-22 pounds. Mm-hmm. He's just a slob.
He's probably an inch and a quarter spurs and about.
Nobody gives a shit about any of that. How big's this snood?
Yeah, what's the snood look like?
The snood was awesome, dude. It was like, I don't know, a foot.
He had a snood around him. He's probably 4-inch snood on him, dude.
That's a booner.
He had a big snood.
He's definitely a booner.
Shaved or hairy?
It was a partial, dude. It was like a 5-hour shower.
Neatly trimmed.
Yeah, it was a 5-hour shadow on that one, but
yeah, and he took her right in the head too. I kind of felt bad for him. But.
Yeah, it was just a great hunt overall. As
epic footage
was supposed to be. The footage is great.
I can't wait to put that together.
Be insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as far as the video is great. The camera angles, it was just great.
And like I said, the sound of the call, like I said, the bat wing call is just like, wow. Especially to sit next to him when, like I said, I'm okay with it. I'm a little much more raspier than I need to be. And, watch out for Michael. To hear him cut with it so that, again, it's a good learning experience to hear what he does pitch-wise and tone. Compared to what I do. So, again, that big thank you to you for that because it's going to help me in Maine, obviously.
You should have filmed a little B-roll, Mark, where you act like you're calling, but Trev's really calling.
So it looks that happens when I look at him. I'm like, you want me to call? He's like, no. I'm like, really?
He does that to me, too.
Yeah.
No, he's a call hog.
Yeah, he's like, you don't change up calls. So I'll reach in my pocket when we had them ones. I'm like, you want me to do some cuts on my pocket call? He's like, no. I'm like, well, I'll be in the truck if you need me.
A couple minutes later, he's like, should I pull out the box call? No, don't touch anything.
He's like, you don't change once you get him a hammer. And I'm like, I get your point. I mean, you got him talking to you. Why serve popcorn when they're already eating candy bars?
That's what I'm saying.
I get it.
It's like going to Dunkin' Donuts and ordering a black coffee and you get a fucking blueberry hazelnut.
It's like going to Wendy's and ordering a salad.
Yeah. Yeah, don't order the salad from Wendy's.
Yeah, with rotten tomatoes.
Oh, my God, dude. I swear I got salmonella last time, dude. I warned you. It was bad.
You don't ever do that.
He did it.
It's a burger joint, dude.
I just tried doing the right thing.
Yeah, you end up being a salad shooter while you're in the woods.
Yeah.
You weren't a very good shooter after the salad, I can tell you that.
No, yeah, there's nothing you can trust about that. It's not gas, trust me.
That's right. Well, we dropped this tailgate, dude. Absolutely amazing story. Great hunt. Great hunt to the end of Connecticut, and hopefully we got a little bit more coming, with Maine coming next week, and we'll have some good tales from the tailgate from there. All the boys are coming up to hunt up there. And for everyone else, thanks for taking the ride right here on the Outdoor Drive.